I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tag on the right wing to Crosby. Poke check away, and now the counter. Here come the Caps. Kuznetsov gets loose. Evgeny coming down the middle. A shot, and it comes in over. He scores! Evgeny Kuznetsov wins it for Washington! It's off to the third round! The Demons have been exorcised! Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Pittsburgh! We're going to Tampa Bay! The Capitals have done it!
That's John Walton's music. What's up and welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. If you'd like to discuss the decision to trade Evgeny Kuznetsov or the comments of General Manager Brian McClellan, Cliff Notes and paraphrasing, they've been trying to move on from him. They've been frustrated with him for the last couple of years, and the stars finally aligned to get it done now. You can hop in at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Get back to the calls on the Caps in just a moment. Real quick, I just saw that a new top 101 NFL free agents dropped from NFL.com. This is the first time I've seen one of these rankings recalibrated and accounting for guys who got tagged and are no longer listed. So rapid fire, here's your free agency top five. And this is at the quarterback position to start. Cousins, number one out of Minnesota. Jacoby Brissett, number two, according to Greg Rosenthal, over Baker Mayfield. Brissett is 31. He led five drives and had five touchdowns with Washington. Baker Mayfield listed third, coming off of 28 tutties.
Surprised me a little bit.
10 picks. And then he's got Ryan Tannehill, the 36-year-old who was benched this year, fourth, and Russell Wilson, fifth. He says this list is made independent of contract demands, but even if Wilson ends up being as inexpensive as a mid-tier backup, I worry about how he'll transition into the life of a bridge backup quarterback, which is true. He's kind of a celebrity QB,
yep.
Weird relationship at times with teammates. So I kind of get that concern. But to have Tannehill over him and Brissett over Baker Mayfield, very surprising.
Yeah, it's jarring to look at those rankings, right? Especially after the work that Baker just turned in. I mean, listen, Brissett is solid. We've talked about this
before. I'd like to see Jacoby get a shot to play 17.
I don't know where when that would come. Like, I don't know who would go, that's our plan.
We saw it to an extent, but it was years ago.
Yeah.
Where it's just like very low ceiling, very high floor, a lot of, games where he's not turning the ball over much, not a lot of games with a bunch of yards and touchdowns. Having said that, I don't know, there's just so many bad quarterbacks that start all the time. I just like to see a team roll with him. I guess, though, if you're going to roll with a quarterback, you'd rather it be like Washington did last year.
Yeah, a neophyte to see.
Just a flyer, see what they are, rather than a 31-year-old.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Brissett. Really good dude who, before he was signed here, we're going, they should go sign Jacoby Brissett. Then they did, and he did exactly what you would want in terms of mentorship, come in short spots, and do well. But the Mayfield ranking really surprises me. He turned in a good season last year. It really didn't start off that way, but as he got more comfortable, like, you would look up and look at where this guy's ranking in terms of some of these numbers. He's actually pretty prolific. He's making better decisions, better processing at the quarterback spot, getting the ball to the weapons, and just he looks like an NFL quarterback now. This is kind of what we were supposed to get when he went 1-1 overall. It took a minute, but maybe they found something there in Tampa. Interesting to see him below those other two.
Any issue with the Russell Wilson might not be the best guy to have as a backup situation?
I wouldn't do it. I mean,
signing him to start initially. But like, if you're Pittsburgh, you don't bring him in and say you're competing with Pickett, do you?
Listen, if I sign him, it's because I think he can start for me. I'm not doing a thing where he's in and out of the lineup for me. That just creates stuff that I don't have much interest in dealing with if I'm a football program. So for me, if I'm Tomlin and company in Pittsburgh, if I'm making the move to get Russell Wilson, it's because I want him for 17 games. Now, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to bench him or something like that, but I'm not doing any kind of bridge for 5 weeks, then I hand it to the kid or maybe for 8 weeks or once until Daniel Jones comes back and for the Giants. I'm not doing that. I don't do high-profile celebrity backups that were at one point on a Hall of Fame track.
Totally.
Like, that's not for me.
The running back market is loaded, by the way. Wow.
A lot of names.
What a great running back market. Saquon Barkley at 27. Derrick Henry at 30, who still somehow hasn't seemed to hit a wall, really. Josh Jacobs at 26. 27-year-old Tony Pollard. DeAndre Swift, who's only 25. He had a great stretch with the Eagles last year. Slowed down as the year went on. Austin Eckler's 29, was not quite the same player with the Chargers last season, but he should be intriguing to a lot of teams that want a pass catcher. J.K. Dobbins, the problem is he tore his Achilles in week one last season. He had a torn ACL.
Just feel for that guy,
remember,
man.
Before that, so his career's kind of been derailed. Devin Singletary, the Houston Texans. 8 different legitimate starting caliber running backs maybe on the market. That's one of the deepest positions. The other one is safety. I feel for Cam
Curl. A lot of names all of a sudden, yeah.
A lot of guys got cut. That is a flooded market. I'll bet you Curl at one point this season had agent or marketing, you know, people in his ear saying, hey, we think you might get $12, $14, $15 million a year. Now you're starting to see projections come all the way down to $8 or $9 million per season for Cam Curl because it's such a overinflated market.
Quick Derrick Henry note, he's a decent season away from being in the top 20 all-time rushers.
Not surprising. Dude had a 2,000-yard season.
Yeah, he has been churning out yards, man.
Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. People want to chime in, I think, on Yevgeny Kuznetsov as the Cup hero is on his way out today. Bernie's in Rockville. What's up, Bernie?
Hey, Bern.
Gentlemen, much clearer than being on 270. How are you guys doing this wonderful Friday?
Hey, man.
Doing well, man. Good to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. Well, the good thing about also getting Kuznetsov off the books now, I mean, you have 3.9, but if you would have had to buy him out, it would have been half the salary but twice a year, so you would have had that money into the following year with the salary cap going up exponentially the next couple of years. That extra couple million is the difference between holding pat and maybe getting an extra couple million on a guy that you really want. I love all the draft capital they're amassing. Like you brought up Grant, you can use that not only to stock the cupboard, which is quite stocked in Hershey and South Carolina, as well as in juniors and overseas, a couple really good guys overseas that are really starting to do the needle as well. But also goaltending's 5 deep, and you also have that chance to go out and find that playmaking center. But you might already have it in-house with LaPierre and McMichael starting to get into being a strong number two as well.
I wonder, too, thanks for the call,
thanks, buddy.
Bernie, if Mantha's a big Carberry guy, which is very possible just based on the season he just had in year one with Carbs, I wonder if he'd be one of their priorities in free agency. I don't know what it would cost if he gets the same kind of money he just had where he was, you know, a bit of an Achilles heel at almost $6 million. I wouldn't want to go anywhere near that. But McClellan just said it on the show. I even reiterated and kind of clarified. I said, wait. That sounded like you were just saying you're going to go after him in free agency, because the quote was, when we traded for him, we envisioned the Mantha we got this year. We made a decision to address it in the offseason. I just think it was an important piece to move on, given that we had a good year and that we can address it in free agency. And I said, so you're saying sell high now and talk to him this offseason? And he said, yeah, absolutely. They're going to spend money, though. They need goal scoring. And he was the number two goal scorer behind Strome on the team this year. John's in McLean on G&D. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's it going?
Good, buddy.
I've got 3 things for you. Number one, I love these moves. I love them. I'm a fan of all of them. I love the draft capital. I love our team, the young guys with Miro and Pro and Laps, Dandy. I love it. Guys, Grant, Danny, do you guys hear me?
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
We're in.
I, I, I'm a huge fan. I'm all in.
Let the kids play.
Good boy, John.
Let them play. Let's see what they got. We got Carbs who's going to let them play. Let's let them play. Let's see what happens. Number two, yeah, Kuzi, everything you said, I'm on board 100%. I'm trying to think, is there another professional athlete who has such talent who's just never reached that level that he has? He has that innate talent. He's, you know, I wish him the best of luck in Carolina. I hope he succeeds there. Not against us, of course, but he will be missed, but it was time for him to move on. And number three, what is it about McClellan and I guess Rizzo too? Do those guys need to drink a Red Bull or something before coming on the show? It's like, how are they not pumped? I don't get it. I'm going to leave you Friday afternoon, guys. Thank you so much.
Well, love you're shot move. Out of a cannon. They can Thank borrow you, some of your energy for sure. I don't know if Max is excited about some of the moves he made, as you are, but I like it. That's the energy we're looking for from a caller. I think when you're an executive, you just have to be really measured.
Sure.
They also know, like, they just traded guys whose now their wives have to, you know, help them find homes.
Yeah, you need, like, a realtor in Carolina. Yeah.
Kids are changing schools. And, like, I don't think it's that fun for Brian McClellan to blow the team up that he was hoping was going to make the playoffs. So I don't know that he's going to come on here, you know, like Vince McMahon walking down to the ring all fired
no
up
chance.
That he's adding draft picks in a season where his boys might not make the playoffs. But, yeah, I think what they are doing is the best that they are able to while still keeping enough talent around Alex Ovechkin to allow him to hunt down Wayne Gretzky, become the all-time leading scorer in the NHL, accomplish that feat in a Capitals uniform with diehard Capitals fans at Capital One Arena watching him do it. They are, I always say, rearranging the deck chairs, but you know, they're kind of, there's a few guys that have been kind of deemed untouchable, clearly, and their contracts might be part of the reason why.
Mm.
Some of the veterans, whether it's Carlson and Oshie, you know, that are the planets of the solar system, so to speak. But everything else in the universe, they're adding, they're subtracting, they're tinkering. The core, the future, it's Tom Wilson's probably your captain, right? There's a couple of guys like Dylan Strome and Rasmus Sandin now that they've locked up who are going to be around. But you're seeing the youth movement. It's kind of what always frustrates me when I talk to Caps fans, where they act like they haven't rebuilt in any way or they're not in the process of slowly but surely positioning themselves to spend some money and be pretty good again post this era. Mareshnichenko has to be a goal scorer to probably give them a high ceiling top six guy, because I don't know that they have one otherwise. He's only 20, scored his first goal of his career in his fifth game yesterday. Hendrix LaPierre, I'm a big fan of, the 22-year-old center, former first-round pick. I really, really like him. But otherwise, like McMichael's, okay. I think he's probably more of a, you know, on a championship team, maybe a third-line guy. On a pretty good team, maybe a second-line guy. But he's moved up and down the lineup. It's a lot of other, Beck Malenstein, who's a little older, 26. Really, really like him. He looks like a fourth-line grinder and special teams player. Protas, I think, has developed this year. Ferravari is a stout 24-year-old defenseman. We'll see what Alexiev is. He's finally going to get a long look. I've not been impressed with Ethan Bear, who they brought in, the 26-year-old defenseman who they gave a contract to, but hopefully they can get him going. The system all of a sudden with Leonard and Crystal and Chesley. Like there is talent, and the picks, 26 over three drafts, this is a rebuild. Like it might not be the pace that you want. You want to blow everything up. You want to do the Wizards thing. Okay, well, they're not doing that. They're having their cake and eating it too. It's going to take
to
a little
degree.
Longer.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about this. It's a house that needs a new foundation, but you're prolonging that by fixing the driveway. You're fixing the drapes. You're fixing the shutters, the gutters. You know, all the ancillary pieces. Eventually, when this incredible thing that Alex Ovechkin is trying to do is over with, yeah, there's going to be a time where you look up and you go, John Carlson's going to be 36 years old. TJ Oshie, who basically plays half a season now, will be in his upper 30s. And some of these other guys that are, you know, not necessarily living up to contract billing will eventually be moved on from. And I think that's what a lot of Caps are looking at their watch going, I want that now. If the governors weren't there for Ovechkin trying to set an unbreakable record, we'd be doing that. But he is, so you're not doing that. Sorry. That record is too damned important to sort of mess around with it. The ancillary benefit of it is attempting to have teams that are competitive and try to make the postseason and see what happens. You're getting valuable experience for these kids, though. They're in a playoff race right now. That's really, really cool. Now, whether they make it or not, that's it's all gravy as far as I'm concerned. But the guys that you already mentioned, the LaPierres of the world, being able to come up in a place to try to fight for a playoff spot with a few veterans. That's a really, really good thing for their development.
Let's go to Vinny, who's in Richmond on Grant and Danny. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, so, yeah, I was mainly calling because I wanted to say something kind of funny because it's all about good morning, good afternoon, good riddance because we exercised the demons today. Yeah. I mean, he's been playing so bad. I witnessed games last year, and Mantha had a much worse turnover than him that cost us a game that we had fought our way back into. And I'm talking about last year right now. But
yeah,
this year he's been equally bad. He's not lived up to it. I don't really look so much at that advanced analytics stuff. I just watch him on the ice, and I'm like, this guy doesn't care. You know,
that's
this
what it
is
looks
the
like.
Guy that invented the twister pass. Like, that was so creative. Everyone on, you know, kids all over the world were trying that pass and practicing on that so that they could nail it and score a goal in that, like that in a game. And, I mean, the guy just to have that much God-given talent and to not use it the way that he needs to, it's frustrating. And, you know, his cap hit, this was one of the worst teams he could be on with that cap hit. You know, we're always cap-strapped because we're expected to win. You know, we won President's Trophies. We finally got a Stanley Cup. A lot of that was thanks to him, and that'll never go away.
But, totally. 11 years with the organization. And
appreciate the
phone call. Good zings. 11 years with the organization.
Yeah.
The caller a couple back now actually asked an interesting question, which is because people talk all the time about, like, who's the guy that got hurt that coulda, shoulda, woulda? But how about just you had all the talent in the world, and for whatever reason it just – and I don't know if this is fair or not. I always – hate to question a guy's effort or how much they cared because we just don't know. And it's easy to say what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the perception. And it is, frankly, also the internal perception.
Yeah, buoyed by his comments.
With some of the organizational decision makers. You know, Brian McClellan was on today. They were frustrated with him the last 2 years. I don't think it's because he was giving it 110% on the ice on every single shift. But the one guy that came to mind, and the comp maybe is... dangerous because I think he also dealt with some demons in terms of addiction and things off of his field, was Josh Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to Josh Hamilton's credit, he ended up getting back on track and actually having a really good run.
Had a couple of unbelievable years.
He drove in 130 runs with the Rangers in 2008. Remember, he put on one of the great home run derby shows ever at Yankee Stadium. He had a 43 homer season where he drove in a .130. Like, he was an MVP, and he was amazing. So I don't know if he's even a good example because he made 5 All-Star teams, won 3 Silver Sluggers, won an MVP. He eventually got over his issues. But there was a time where you talk about just sheer talent, and it's like, come on, man. Do you know how good you are? Do you know what you could be? And that is, I think, the most maddening thing about the Kuznetsov existence, because I'm with that caller. The last couple years, just about every game you watch, occasionally you'd have a great game, but you just go, please, no, I can't do this anymore. I cannot. When people say I can't even, I can't.
That's actually what they're referring to.
I can't koozie anymore. I just can't do this any longer. I'm so tired of this. That, how many times would you say that watching the Caps the last couple of years? I think it was constant. And it's not like he doesn't have the talent. There might be 10 guys in the league at any given moment still right now that have his skill set. Or fewer.
That's the part I just find so unforgivable. And by the way, the history of sports is checkered with names like this. Everyone from Lawrence Phillips to Roy Tarpley to Todd Marinovich to even someone like Aaron Hernandez, for example. All the talent in the world. More important to do, weekend gangster type things for him. Brian Bosworth and Ryan Leaf. I mean, there's a myriad list of guys that I have no sympathy for. Now, like, when you start talking addiction and mental health stuff, that's a different category. But when I'm just talking about pure application of talent, like, I can't understand lack of a give a damn in an athlete. I my brain isn't wired that way. I just can't get on board with that. Like, because there are too many people like me that would have done unspeakable things for an ounce more ability. I just didn't have enough ability to be a professional baseball player. It's all I ever wanted to do. I would have done crimes, Grant, to have more ability, to have been faster, to have been a little bit taller, or whatever the hell, right? I just cannot get on board with someone that's like, eh, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I can't get there.
I think there's a couple of free agents for the Commanders who are going to be walking next week, perhaps, that might have been a lot more important to this team and might be a lot better than we've given them credit for. I want to get into that next on G&D here on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
G&D on The Fan. Welcome back and thank you for listening to the show. We're taking you up to 6:30 this evening. As a reminder, the show today and every day is brought to you by our friends, the lawyers of Condorian Murad. Their law firm's in Fairfax. They're the official show sponsor. They'll protect your assets, update your will and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their attorneys in Fairfax. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention us to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. The more I look at free agent rankings and try to get a perception of who the best available players are on the market, the more I realize there's a lot of folks around the NFL who think Kendall Fuller is going to do really well for himself. And then if you rank him compared to some of the other top cornerbacks on the market, he comes out pretty favorably. He's ranked the number one corner on NFL.com. It's not a great cornerback market. Now, I happen to like Kenny Moore, who's 29, same age as Fuller, a little bit more. But Stephon Gilmore is 33. Moore is 29, like Fuller. So is Steven Nelson, who's just over 30 years old. Christian Fulton is younger, but has had an injury history. Dory Jackson, 28. You look at the list of cornerbacks, there aren't guys that have considerably better resumes than Kendall Fuller. And we've had a couple of guests on who cover the Commanders, and we ask them what's one of their biggest needs this offseason, and they point to corner. And Fuller's walking, and we're all just kind of accepting that. I mean, should they be making more of an attempt to keep him around? He only made $10 million the last couple of years. They got nothing but money. He's only missed two games dating back to 2021. Are we sure that's not a guy that should have been more of a topic of conversation the last couple months to get something done?
It's a smart question, and I guess I'll go this way. Number one, internal options. They've got a couple of young quarterbacks that I like, right? I like St. Juste. Maybe it's a single quarterback that I like.
I was going to say, who else?
They drafted him in the first round last year.
I love St. Juste. Like, that's my guy, but Everything's projection with him. To this point, it's a lot of penalties. It's plenty of games and plays that haven't gone well. I think we both look at him and see the same things. He's long.
Yep.
He's physical. He's in the right spot.
I don't think he's a star. I think he's solid. Sure. I think he's got like a fuller like career path.
But he can't be your corner one.
No. So I guess maybe thinking that because this market is so watered down, I'm trying to play it out in my mind. Let's say that because this is not a good corner market, you're going to, to get the best one, a.k.a. let's say it is Kendall Fuller, you're going to have to pay a premium in order to do that. I don't know that I want to pay a premium for Kendall Fuller. Right? I mean, that's kind of, I guess that's my approach. I'd rather do a change of scenery candidate like a Dory Jackson, who didn't play particularly well in New York last year in Wink Martindale's defense. But maybe they look at, this new defense and say he'll fit here really well because of this. Something like that, right? Try to maybe go a little bit more bargain to maybe with some upside. But because the market isn't particularly good, you're going to have to pay a premium for a guy that's not going to give you premium. He'll give you the best of this group, but I'm kind of like, so what there? But I see your point about, they're leading at a weakness. Maybe they should have been a little bit more interested in maybe having him come back.
Take a guess at where you think he would show up in PFF's top 100 NFL free agents this offseason.
64.
15.
Oh, well then.
He's their number 15 free agent in their top 100. That's kind of my point. Like, not to put you on the spot, but I don't think we're considering enough necessarily. There's a, he played really well. Let's start with that. His numbers are good. Last year, out of 127 corners, where do you think he was graded by PFF? 127 corners.
21st.
7th.
Jeez.
Now, I don't think he was the 7th best corner in football. I don't think any GMs do either, probably. But the year before that, 15th out of 118. In 2021, 3rd out of 116. It seems to me like their metrics, for whatever reason, really like him. And I'm sure his agent will have a field day using those in negotiations. But what they are suggesting he gets in their projected contract for Kendall Fuller is 3 years at about $13 million per year. So three and 39 mil, maybe you guarantee him around $25 million. You're talking about breaking the bank. I don't know if that's considered breaking the bank to you, but if they could have him back at 3 years and $39 million, is that something you'd be interested in?
Would you do that? I think I'd rather not do that. I feel like his best days are behind him. But again, those numbers jump out at me because I think we have a bad feeling about how because this defense was such a disappointment. It's almost like anyone associated with it, I think a lot of fans, and I'm probably just instinctively thinking about myself, are going, they're going to lose someone from that defense. Who cares, right? That's probably not the way we should be approaching it. I mean, there's some really smart people that do, you know, film study that I, you know, read here and there, and they're going, look at outside of what was going on with Jack Del Rio's defense, which wasn't good, led him to get fired. Individual players at times were doing some pretty good things. See Cam Curl and see Kendall Fuller, frankly, in that discussion, doing a decent job staying with some receivers. Not flashy by any stretch of the imagination, not making those pick sixes and posing an awful lot in the end zone, but still a pretty good player.
He got torched in that Bears game, that Thursday night fiasco. Nobody had a good game, by the way, but he was particularly awful in that game, and it was on national TV, and it makes me think that maybe, and I'm spitballing, but like maybe the perception within the fan base is based on like the big stage game where a lot of people that night closed the book and was like, I'm done with Rivera.
Yeah, no thanks.
I'm done with this staff. I'm move on from him, whatever it is. I just wonder if that was louder than a lot of the other games where he actually put some really good film out there. PFF, when they ranked him 15th in their top 100, said Fuller was the lone bright spot in the Commander's cornerback room in 2023. While he is plenty capable as a wide cornerback, perhaps his prior experience in the slot and its safety could be attractive to teams. That's the other point. He hasn't really been asked to play inside the nickel very often here lately. I know that's why they originally brought him back here. But he also does have some experience, as a safety. Maybe their thought is he ain't getting 13. He's getting more than 13. Because, like, look at what Jalen Johnson just
got. That's my thought.
Jalen Johnson just got $19 million a year. Now, he is better and younger, and he's going to be a star. Like, he's a better player, and I like him more than Kendall Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
That's a massive gap. This projection was done before the cap was a little bigger. So we've seen already the safety market, as an example, is completely oversaturated, like we said. I think the corner market's the opposite. So maybe you're right, and someone pays him like $17 million a year. And at that point, I have no interest in that. But yeah, you asked if I would do this. If I could get him at 3-36 or 3-40 or something like that, again, they have all the money. It's a position where they don't have that much talent. And there's not a lot available. So yeah, I would definitely consider that. And he's been in your locker room. You know he's a guy that does a lot of the right things and is, you know, a quiet leader type. He's a former third-round pick, two different tenures here. So, yeah, to me, we've talked a lot about Cam Curl and, you know, fill-in-the-blank free agent to be. Curtis Samuel. Like, he's one of these guys that is probably just better than the conversation has been about how much they'll miss him when he walks.
No, I think you're right.
Especially if Emmanuel Forbes and Quan Martin don't take huge steps. They layered themselves so that he could leave. Well, that was a year ago.
Predicated on them knowing what they're doing.
What if Forbes is terrible?
Yeah.
You know, what if Quan Martin is more of a safety than a corner and doesn't play in the nickel very much or that isn't the forte or the specialty. I think these are all considerations they've got to be thinking about going into next week.
Yeah, there are a few guys in this free agency period here at corner who are almost exclusively slot guys and thought of as that way, that you could upgrade in that department. That's, you know, more affordable because pretty much everybody goes three wide now at this stage, and that's one of the – it's not quite a starter, but it is.
It's so odd to me that St. Jude's, just based on his body type, is the guy they like to throw in the nickel sometimes because he's just so long. You think of him as almost like – and I think he's going to be awesome with Dan Quinn. Legion of Boom corner, right? Those big physical dudes that get their hands on people. I think of him that way on the outside on the boundary. But they like him moving around, even though he's a little less twitchy on the inside. And he's had as much success doing that as pretty much anyone else they've had, which maybe isn't saying a lot.
Yeah, but dubious honor. But it's one of those things where when I think of free agency, and I think I'm, you know, I don't want to say that I'm in line with Peters and company. We haven't seen him do it yet, but based on his statements, I think they view free agency as where can we affordably upgrade a position? We don't want to do the win a bidding war for the wide receiver, win a bidding war for, maybe not right now, win a bidding war for the defensive end, win a bidding war for the left tackle. Those are premium positions that are costing a lot of money. And paying top of the market there doesn't make a lot of sense. You can dramatically improve your team by winning a bidding war for a tight end, right? That's, you know, call it $8, $9 million for somebody as opposed to 26, right, for one of these marquee guys at a more, you know, premium position. You could upgrade at a couple different spots. I don't think corner's going to be that spot. I feel like guys are going to make a pretty penny. Maybe I'm wrong.
You said you'd rather go with Dory Jackson. He's only got two picks since 2018. That surprises me.
That's a lower number than I thought. I mean, the complaint that I've heard in my Giants fan source, who's very plugged in, it's not a source at all, I'm kidding, but texted me about stuff from time to time, and he basically was like, Wink Martindale just puts that guy on an island. You shouldn't do that. If you don't do that, he could still play at a pretty high level.
Yeah, a lot of this now is going to be scheme-dependent too, right? With Joe Witt Jr., the defense
that's
he's
a thought,
running.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn, presumably going to run some of the Seattle stuff. A little different than the Dallas defense he was running, but he did say, for what it's worth, it's going to be a new defense. They're going to design something around their personnel. The corner market right now, J.C. Jackson, 28-year-old, who the Patriots seem to always be bringing in and cutting and bringing in and cutting. Adoree Jackson of the Giants this past year. Darius Williams, who was most recently in Jacksonville, played every game this year. He's 30. Fuller's 29. Was the fourth highest paid of the corners last season, hitting the market. Stephon Gilmore, 33 years old, made $10 million with the Cowboys, played 970 snaps last year. Only Fuller and Williams, among the pending free agents, were more durable than him. He's just old.
Yeah.
No, and from a football sense, just long in the tooth there. Micah Hyde, 33 years old. Michael Davis, the corner from the Chargers. Jeff Okuda, been a huge disappointment, top of the board pick, right after Chase Young. From Ohio State at 25 years old. I do like Kenny Moore, who made about $8 million with the Colts last season. Dating back to Hard Knocks, I love that guy. And he just makes plays. He's always around the football in Indianapolis. Where are you guys at on Kendall Fuller as he prepares to hit the market? Is he someone Washington should be paying more attention to? And I want to dissect a similar conversation around Curtis Samuel with you next, Danny, right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
The Nationals are in action tonight. Friday Night Lights in West Palm Beach. We just got back from spring training. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. While there, we caught up with Nats closer Kyle Finnegan. You will hear that conversation coming up at the top of the hour at 6 o'clock right here on the Fan. He has become very consistently a solid back-of-the-bullpen guy. I think on a World Series caliber championship first division team, Kyle Finnegan's probably a setup man, but for the Nats, as a closer, he has become kind of the same guy every year, like three straight seasons, ERA in the threes, run out of a little gas in September, we can ask him, and I believe we did ask him about that, but steadily, though, I would say a guy that a lot of people thought they were going to trade because contenders would want him. He's controllable, he's not making a ton of money, and he throws 98 miles an hour now, and he's got a nasty few pitches that help him to be one of the more consistent relievers in the division.
Yeah, pretty consistent numbers over, you know, his really three full seasons here with Washington. Has added, you know, some pretty significant save totals to the back end there. So you're 100% right. I mean, he has been solid. He got off to a terrible start last year, if you recall. Had a couple outings where it looked like he would never get an out again. And those kind of ruined his numbers for most of the way. But then you looked up, and as Mike Rizzo always likes to say, back of the baseball card. Boom, that's what he did.
Yeah, it was. I remember he gave up like 11 runs, numbers approximate, against the Tampa Bay Rays right at the start of April.
Yeah.
I was there. He was like, I think he gave up three straight six-run homers in a game.
Like the most dropped fantasy closer in the history of fantasy baseball that week.
And then he just went like 3 months in a row where he was lights out.
He was great.
And the numbers just looked fine. But that's why ERA for relief pitching, not to get onto too much of a tangent, is the dumbest stat. I hate when relievers come into the game and everyone's like, oh, what's his earned run average? You have one terrible inning. You need to have 10 or 11 excellent innings in a row just to have okay numbers. So basically, if you do your job 10 out of 11 times, think about the difference of that versus a hitter.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like you're not doing that well. So there are other metrics and things that I care about than whether or not you have a good ERA. Also, in the stretch run of Grant and Danny coming up, we'll do the G&D's Tony's Mailbag. Because it is Friday.
Oh, that's right.
Our little Ask Us Anything
Very
segment.
Nice, yeah.
How should we do this? Should we do Finnegan right off the top at 6 into the mailbag after? Or do we start with the mailbag and then we go to old Kyle Finnegan?
I think let's start with Kyle Finnegan and then mailbag it. What do you think?
I think that's fine. I don't really have a preference. I can do either.
Let's do that.
I'm flexible. Like Ali Raceman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, maybe not that flexible.
Good name pull right there.
All right. Let's go back and forth. U.S.
Oh, no.
Gymnast.
Come on.
Until somebody loses. Wait, where's my bell? Here we go. Ali Raceman.
Dominic Dawes. That pretty much ran my course there.
Nastia Lukin.
She's really good. Oh, come on. How about, I'm not going to pull that name. Gabby Douglas.
The greatest of all time, married to a Packer / Texan. Simone Biles.
Kerry Strug.
Damn, that puts a little pressure on me.
Now I'm really out.
Bridget Sacramone.
That's Alicia Sacramone.
Alicia Sacramone.
Okay. Can't just say Bridget. Like, who's Bridget?
I botched the first name. Alicia Sacramone. I think she's married to Brady Quinn.
Okay. All right. Okay. Michaela Mulroney, the expression lady.
Damn.
How about that one? How about that one? I did not think I had any more. Now I really don't have any more.
Is Marissa Miller somebody?
I think she's a Sports Illustrated model.
No, Marissa. Let me Google. Marissa Miller. I think she's from Michigan. That is a
Marissa Miller from Michigan, really?
I could be wrong. Oh, Livy Dunn. Wait.
What is this?
Never mind. Sorry.
What Google search was that?
No. Livy Dunn is very obvious. That's LSU.
Yep.
But everyone knows Livy Dunn.
Why do they know her?
She's an excellent gymnast.
Oh, right.
But who's the girl I'm thinking? Is Marissa Miller not somebody?
I really think Marissa Miller's a swimsuit model.
There was a girl on the U.S. women's gymnastics team.
Okay.
It was like a blonde on the team that won the gold. I thought her name was Marissa Miller. It probably isn't. Suni Lee. The one that won the all-around gold last time, I think. She's a silly.
Let me see that computer screen.
Come on over.
Let me see it. Turn it around.
Come on over.
You just pulled Suni Lee?
Suni Lee.
Looks like Spot Track free agency
spot
list.
Spot Track.
I think you navigated away.
I didn't.
I did
Google to see if Marissa Miller was someone, and nothing came up.
Is Marissa Miller someone? All right. Oh, man.
I want to know who I'm thinking of. And you would know who I'm thinking, who I'm talking about, but I can't just show you a picture.
I think I'm out, Jerry. Suni Lee's a great pull.
I can't think of her. I'm thinking of the four people that were at the Olympics.
Sure.
Gabby Douglas. I can't think of the girl's name. Hernandez? Something Hernandez. This is great radio.
Levon?
Yeah. There's a Hernandez, I think, in there somewhere. That was not bad. We pulled more than I thought.
Listen, there were a couple times I thought I had none.
Who knows more about gymnastics than we do? Nobody.
No, several.
Who in DC sports radio today covered the gymnastics scene better than your pals Grant and Danny?
I haven't listened to all Kevin Chan's podcasts yet, so I don't know.
I don't think he covered it today. But you guys have a few podcasts, so I liked that when he came on with us for the Blitz. He name-dropped, you know, that he
by the way, nobody has leaned more into the zings that I did at the roast than Kevin.
I agree.
I didn't know how he would take it. He took it great.
It took it great?
Yeah.
So it's not that he's bothered by them. You think he's like, he's in on them.
He's wearing it, and he's like in on them, and he's like referenced them several times. It's been awesome.
I think he's a good hang. I've always loved listening, and you know, but like the couple times I've been around him out and about, I think he's a good hang. Someone said Mary Lou Retton. That's a good one.
Is that who you're trying to pull before?
No.
Oh.
I don't know. I think it's Marissa Miller.
Marissa Miller. You got to stop with this Marissa Miller thing.
Kyle Finnegan and G&D's Tony's Mailbag next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.